This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Wisconsin drivers waiting in a drive-thru lane at McDonald's. Thursday, we're treated to an unexpected sight. A cow in line for hamburgers. According to the Associated Press, Jessica Nelson was among the group of lucky drivers who spied the bovine beneath the golden arches. Cow in question was not walking near the restaurant, but instead was spotted sitting in the back seat of a Buick waiting in the drive-thru lane.
Ah, Buick.
I thought it was fake at first. Who puts a cow in a Buick? Nelson told the outlet. Then its whole head moved. In response to the spectacle, Nelson took out her phone, started filming the cow passenger. She then uploaded that footage to Facebook with the caption, "A whole freaking cow. Tell me you live in Wisconsin without telling me you live in Wisconsin." Nelson's video shows the cow in the car's back seat, staring out the vehicle's closed window. Cow appears calm in the clip and doesn't move. As footage of the farm animal at the fast food restaurant has received over 2,560 views. Yeah,
that was so close.
Yeah. What were you lucky or unlucky enough to see with your own eyes? 206-421-ROCK.
A couple of comments here. Says, I was unluckily, I had to see a larger, hairy, homeless man skinny dipping in the Montlake area during rush hour. I can still remember his skullet, the water glistening on his hairy belly, and his finger digging in his belly button. And then this one I think we can all relate to. Thomas from Seattle says, when I was 10 years old, I had the unlucky situation of walking in on my stepmom taking a dump with all of her clothes off. I was certainly scarred for life.
Ooh.
Well, she had to be naked to take a dump. God damn. Hello, Timothy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Well, this is one that's kind of lucky for me, I guess. Back when I was in the Army in Korea, we were a unit that was pretty much logistics, which means we were all truck drivers and office workers.
All right.
So not exactly G.I. Joe. Our sergeant, though, however, thought we were. So every morning we'd go on a really, really long, fast run. And weather was not a factor. So this one morning, it was thunderstorming and dirt in the middle of monsoon season, so it was just a mess. We're running up this hill, and we're about less than 100 feet from the top when a thunderbolt hits the top of the hill less than 100 feet from us.
Damn.
Our first sergeant, who was in the lead, all of a sudden's like, "Okay, turn around, back to the barracks."
Yeah, that's a good time.
So that was the end of that.
Hey, how long does monsoon season last? How many months?
About roughly 3 months. It's pretty much our fall is their monsoon season.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it just rains and dumps every day, right?
More or less, yeah. It doesn't rain and dump every day, but when it does rain, it's going to dump. But the nice thing is, unlike here, it's warm rain over there, so you get the milk factor comes in real quick when you go inside.
I've heard like in India, maybe Korea as well, and everyone else says you have 4 seasons legitimately in their minds, mm-hmm. like we have 5, right? So you got the 4 that we know, then monsoon season is its own freaking thing.
Yeah.
That's not something I want in my seasons, you know what I'm saying?
We got a lot of rain in West Virginia growing up. I think the craziest thing I saw was out camping with my friends.
We're beside a river, and there's a hillside or a stream, you know what I mean, and the hill kind of slopes down. We have our camp set up, and we're all sitting around just, you know, doing our thing, making food or whatever the hell we were doing. And a tree literally falls across the stream. It just, it died. Like, it was, right. It was done. It fell. There was no beaver involved. Nothing like that. It was a tree falling in the woods.
Did it make a sound?
Yes. It made a really loud sound. We all looked at each other like, because it knocked over all kinds of stuff on the way down. Like, who sees a tree fall in the woods?
Like, that is pretty crazy.
We recognized it at the time. We were like, that is once in a lifetime.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you can see someone fell a tree, but you're never going to see a tree just fall all by itself. And we're like, oh my God. And it was, I mean, the canopy in that, in the forest was pretty high. So you don't realize how big a tree is until you walk the length of the damn thing.
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah.
Oh my God. Like, this thing was freaking huge, man. And just happened to fall across the stream. I mean, it landed, smashed
everything.
Did
you have like a bridge all of a sudden?
Yes. Smashed everything in its path, except for the fact that the branches were still on the tree.
Sure.
So, I mean, if you took those off, it'd be better. But those were actually better to hold on to.
I was going
to
say, that seems like it would help.
Yeah, actually it did. What were you lucky or unlucky enough to see with your own eyes? 206-421-ROCK.
Oh, let's see. Let's talk to... Hello, Doug. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey. Hola, bicholas.
Hola.
So I had a coworker that we called him a paria. You know, you couldn't get rid of this guy even when it was time to go home. And he liked to float down Flaming Geyser, you know, the Green River.
Okay. All right.
And I took a friend on a float, and I said, hey, if we see this guy, his name is Bruce, if we see him, I'm going to give you this motion. And just shut up and paddle like hell. We want to get away from him because we don't want him to hook up with us. So wouldn't you know, we had just put in at the bridge, and we were coming down, and come around this corner, and here is Bruce there on the edge of the water. And so I turned my back, and I motioned to my friend, and we're really quiet, paddling like hell. And we get around the corner, and I look over my shoulder, and Bruce is out of sight. And I look ahead, and here is this guy and gal in the tall grass at the edge of the water. He's doing oral, you know, and I would have thought they could find a better place. And, you know, we're really quiet, so they didn't really see us. They probably heard us paddling, though. And next thing you know, all of a sudden her head pops up, and I'm like 10 feet behind him. And she's looking me eye to eye, and he realizes something's wrong. He jumps off of her. They both get in the grass and cover up with the tall grass, and I'm sitting there trying to figure out what to say, and I finally figured I'd say, damn hot day, isn't it? next thing you know, I'm hung up on a rock because I wasn't watching where I was going, and I toppled and got a lung full of water, come up coughing, and lost my glasses, but that was an interesting situation.
But you got away from Bruce.
We'll never forget.
You got away from Bruce, though.
Got away from Bruce. Okay. We did, yes.
All right. Thank God.
Let's and you see. Got treated to a treat.
Yeah. Sounds like a win-win.
As you say, out in nature, it's fine.
Yeah, I don't feel like, look, I know what he's saying. Like, maybe you could pick a better spot, but right, in nature, assuming you're not just like in the middle of a hiking trail, like, hey, do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do your thing. You can be pooping, you can be having sex. I don't care. But somehow in the city, like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah, I think it's understood. I've seen a lot of nudity out in the woods. Just people camping or people sunning on rocks and
sure.
a river and a stream or whatever, just doing their thing. It's really actually not a big deal. I mean,
it's
you look and you go,
there.
All right, but, you know, that's about it.
But that said, I've seen many more naked people in the city, especially this summer, man. I mean, my God, dude. I know that there's a pandemic, but it's like, there's not a lack of clothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like clothing dried up and there's just none to be worn, but people this summer have decided, you know what? I'm on 3rd Avenue, it's downtown, lunchtime, I don't care.
Right.
Hey, brother, let me, did you get a chicken salad from Pork Belly? It's like, brother, I can see your penis. Like, I can't have this conversation with you right now. But yes, I did get the chicken salad.
It does seem like nudity was more prevalent for whatever reason growing up. Like, I can remember going to the YMCA with my grandfather or whatever. And you
but
know,
it's in the showers, right?
But, in the locker rooms, everybody's naked talking
right.
to each other. You get in the shower, and it's just one big room, and there's like 20 guys in there who all know each other, and they're all just talking and chatting up. And, you know, like, if we were hiking somewhere, everybody, of course you took off your clothes, because you didn't want to carry around a wet pair of trunks.
Sure.
You know what I mean, in your bag for, you know, another 2 to 3 days. So of course you skinny dipped. Like, that's how you bathed and everything else. It's like, everybody knew what everybody looked like naked. It wasn't really that big of a deal.
But it's more, it's a Woods thing. Like, if you skinny dip in the fountain downtown, you know, I understand what you're doing.
Right. It
looks like fun. I'm sure it's refreshing. It's just not here, man.
No, not here.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's like, there's still people I see in my neighborhood that walk around barefoot.
Your neighborhood?
No. What were you lucky or unlucky enough to see with your own eyes? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Paul. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, I was unlucky to see this incident because it was at my birthday party, which, sorry, Mike, this is probably one you don't want to go to anyway. We lived in a small town, and we didn't have much, so we'd rent out a hotel so we can go to the swimming pool and host a pool party. So while me and my buddies are all in the main pool swimming, my buddy said, "Dude, look over in the hot tub." Sure enough, there's my mom riding on top of a dude inside this hot tub.
And at your birthday party?
At my birthday party, dude. I was like 13, 14 at the time.
Okay.
Did you know the dude that she was riding?
Yeah, he was staying with us while my stepdad was in prison.
Oh wow.
So that's what's like even more messed up about it, you know? Like, it just sucks.
Well, let me ask you a question. When your stepfather got out of jail, did they reconnect?
Yeah. My mom and dad are still together. You know? Huh. But my dad, like, he's a big guy, you know, and he worked for a bad business, so it was nothing bad. But he got in there and he got that guy out. That guy kept trying to come around because he fell in love with my mom and all this crap. And so he had to really get him the heck out of there.
Does that mess with your brain, man? So, like, dad gets home from prison. You know what's up with your mom and this standing dude. But I'm assuming before your birthday party, you were not aware that they were doing that?
No, I knew about it.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
But I just never saw it. That was the first time I saw it.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
I know my parents have sex. Don't need proof.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Was he a good guy to you? Was he a decent guy to you?
Yeah. I will say that. Like, he was pretty nice. He did love me and my little sister, but I think it was just getting my mom's pants, really.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. Look, man, we both know.
How long was your stepfather in prison?
3 years.
Okay. All right.
Damn, that is not something I need to see.
No.
I can meet my mom and my dad. It doesn't matter. Like, hey, guys, it's my 13th birthday party. If you could just hang on a minute.
What were you lucky or unlucky enough to see with your own eyes? 206-421-ROCK.
Yeah. It just depends. Like, parents obviously are a no. Even sometimes, like, I don't know. I feel like family member, like, even if it's like a, like, whatever. You don't want to see family members. Like, my cousins and I are tight, but I don't need to see them having sex. I fathom they have sex. They have children.
But even then, like, situation. Even if I know you're having sex, you go, all right, well, chances are the situation dictates that you can.
Yeah.
But at a public pool or a hotel pool or whatever it is, like in the hot tub, like, Jesus Christ, man, can you not do that here?
I don't think
now.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
What?
Just random people having sex. You know what I mean? That I wasn't expecting to see. I don't think that's been one of my life experiences. Maybe I'm forgetting something. I mean,
I don't think you would. I think if it was a family member, you'd remember.
If you accidentally walked in on your roommate, you opened the door and went, whoa, close the door.
A million times.
That's his room. You know that's his bed.
Right.
That's
no problem.
That's in a realistic problem.
And at that age, that's your only goal. Your only goal was to get laid. So the fact you got laid, it's like, hey, congratulations. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, not a surprise. I did have a dude who, and she was a real cool chick named Diane. I didn't know that Diane had a prosthetic leg. And I found out she had a prosthetic leg when I opened the bedroom door to him having sex with her. But the thing was, on the floor beside the bed, basically from the calf down, was a leg. And I was unprepared for this. So when I opened the door, you know, I was kind of, which ruined the whole thing. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. And like, she has a fake leg. I'm like, I don't care. I didn't know, man. Yeah. I look like you guys are having sex with a severed limb sitting next to your corner. Oh, my God. I was cussed. It was a very, very bizarre moment.
What were you lucky or unlucky enough to see with your own eyes? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Anyway, so real quick, I was in a cooking school. And was called Job Corps. They had a lot of stuff. They sent us on a job training up in Illinois. when we went there, we stayed at this school. And then the girls' dorm was next door, and our dorm was right next to them because the cooking place was right next to there. All the other guys had to stay somewhere else. So when we got to the dormitory, I looked up and said, man, what time is it? But the clock wasn't working. So I jumped up there to check out the clock. The clock came off, and it was this hole to the next door, to the girls' dorm. And I started looking in to see all these women naked and running around and doing girl stuff. And then my boy's looking at me and say, hey, man, what are you doing? And I said, shh. And they say, hey, man, what are you doing? And I said, you can see the girl. They say, you're lying. I said, no, I'm not lying. So the next guy jumped up to see, you know, check it out. And then he goes, holy. And I covered his mouth. And I said, be quiet. And then everybody else got their turn, but, you know, that's the first time I ever just seen that. It was like in the movies kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes me think, was it Porky's, I believe? Everyone kept picking through like a keyhole or something
probably,
like that.
Probably, yeah.
Well, I did see a bride, this was, what, down at Westlake. That kind of yellow hotel there, whatever, the Whole Foods is.
Yeah.
All right, so she's getting married that day. I don't know any of this. I'm at Einstein Bagel. It's probably like 7 years ago. I go outside, I'm eating my bagel, I'm just kind of looking up, and I see some activity in the window, and I realize she's getting changed to get into her wedding dress, but she was naked for most of it. It was like her and her mom and maybe a friend or something, but the way she's standing, she keeps facing the window. And as a bride, she was good looking anyway, but as a bride, she's looking as good as she's ever going to look, right?
Yeah.
So, like, her hair and makeup have been done, and I'm sitting there eating my bagel, and I realize that I'm staring up there. So a couple people walking by to go up the stairs across the street to Einstein Bagels, they're looking up to see what I'm looking at, and I will say 100% of the guys are turned around and tracked what I was tracking, basically slowed down, stopped, and stood there.
Yeah.
I remember one woman walked by. She kind of let's see what we're looking at again. You know, she sees it. The look she gave us, she just shook her head. And I'm like, look, dude.
Hey, man.
She's standing directly in the window. And it's about 5 good minutes, man. I mean, she looked fantastic. And then there's a moment you could tell that she realized, now that there's like 8 dudes suddenly eating bagels on these stairs outside, curtains close real quick, and I'm like, whatever.
Hey, you're getting married.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Good luck.
Well, show it to somebody else before you just
you look
end up with one person for the rest of your life. What were you lucky or unlucky enough to see with your own eyes? 206-421-ROCK.
That was a good bagel.
Dude, it was the best. It's the most memorable bagel I've ever had.
There you go.
Yeah,
it's an everything bagel.
I remember what she looked like, too, man. Seriously, she was stunning. And it's just like, does she know that? The window itself was open. So there's no glare. There's nothing.
Yeah, people in hotels sometimes, I don't understand why they don't think you can see in.
I think because they're on the upper floors.
All right.
Right, so in their mind, no one could be looking across. And it's like, I'm not looking across, but we can look up. Like, I can see an airplane that's flying. You know, all you got to do is aim your eyes up, man.
Yeah.
I'd like that moment again. Hello, JT. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, so to get to the point, I used to have hair that went halfway down my back, and from behind, I mean, I'm not a feminine guy, but I did kind of look like a girl.
All right.
Anyways, I was going to get McDonald's one day, and I just happened to notice this old guy across the street when I walk into the store, and didn't think anything of it. Get my McDonald's, and as I'm walking out, he's still across the street, and you know, I look at it a little closer, and it kind of looks like he's servicing himself, you know? He looks back at me, and I guess he thought I was a woman when I walked into the store. I don't know what kind of woman he thought I was, but and he takes a second look at me and sees, you know, when I walk out, I have my beard to match my hair, and with his pants across his ankles, he like hobbles off into the bushes or something and disappears because he was scared, you know, because he saw a dude and thought it was a girl.
Yeah, you probably ruined him for life because, you know, the thoughts going through his head. He's like, oh, yeah. Oh,
no, he probably didn't. Maybe I am attracted to that man.
Uh-oh, look out.
Me and my buddy, we saw a chick. It's back in Baltimore. We're like 15, 16 years old. And she has long, flowing blonde hair and a great ass. And we're kind of following, you know, decent pace behind her. It's packed down there. And then he turned around with his equally blonde mustache, and we were both just like,
great ass, buddy.
He did. He had a fantastic ass.
It Miles, just, you did it to me years ago in this neighborhood.
Oh, as far as checking somebody out?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm.
Yeah. You're an early jumper, though.
I am.
You know, like at a baseball game when there's a fly ball and some dude stands up as soon as it's hit? Like, I mean, it just looks like, Drake, same thing, blonde hair, like, Ted, look at that. And then as we get closer, like, that isn't even bare, like, that's clearly a dude.
Dude.
Like, I don't care.
I do, like, 6 o'clock. Like,
yeah.
Every smoke break.
You mean that dude over there?
Yeah.
How many times you call out one, and then when they get closer, you're like, I should have called that out.
Oh, I apologize all the time. For that. Oh, my bad. I thought that. What were you lucky or unlucky enough to see with your own eyes? 206-421-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
99.9 KISW.
Yay!
You're in the men's room.
Coming up, the return of Who Sucks Less, right after emails on our question, what were you lucky or unlucky enough to see with your own eyes? 206-421-ROCK.
Here's one for you. It says, unfortunate situation. I walked in on my husband's best friend going to Pound Town on my husband's mom. Man, oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
That's awkward. That's awkward. I don't know what I would say. Like, how close you guys really? He's my best friend. Like, yeah, I understand that. I'm saying, how close are you?
How many times has this happened?
Right. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So I have a pretty lucky situation, at least if you're, you know, a fan of music and stuff. I was at this awesome outdoor metal festival at an amphitheater in Missouri, taking some much-needed shade time under a tree, one of the few there was, and kind of staring off in the distance at this vendor area and see this dude who looks, like, super suspicious. Anyway, we lock eyes, and he starts walking to me, and I think he's going to come try and bum a cigarette or something like that. And he starts pointing, smiling, and he's like, dude, thanks for buying the shirt. And I'm wearing a Slipknot shirt at the time. It's like, yeah, I'm the lead singer. And they're on their first album tour right at this time, so I have no idea what he looks like without
that. Yeah, hang on.
Yeah.
Got it. Once again, men's room colors,
double
here are the 7 words you can't say on the radio. Sucker, mother and please keep those words in mind when calling. Now back to the program.
I got your drift there, Chris. You think he's full of crap.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
But yeah, and so he ends up showing me, you know, a bunch of the tattoos, like the 8-ball tattoo on the back of his neck, and he shows me all his passes, and he's like, anyway, I'll look for you later, and gets going. I got him to sign a bunch of stuff out of my wallet, you know, like money and my ticket, and he signed my shirt. And then later on, I'm walking by the autograph booth. I think it was like Static X that was signing. And I see him again, and he calls me out this time. He's like, hey, I was looking for you. And so go up to him, and he had a couple guys with him. One turned out to be Joey Jordison, the late, great Joey Jordison. So mm-hmm. I got to meet Joey as well. And, yeah, it was just a really, really interesting time. And I thought he was lying to me at first, and it turned out great.
That's very cool.
How much sure. convincing did it take? So I know he's showing you the tattoos, passes. I mean, did it take 5 minutes, 30 seconds? How long before you said, okay, this is him?
It was probably just a couple of minutes. I mean, they were long minutes, but when you time out a minute, you know, it's a little bit longer than most people expect. So I'd say probably like about 5 minutes.
And my other question is this, and I'm thinking back, you know, you say this is like the first album. So when you go back in time, you know, I've always had less money. So there'd be a point if I open my wallet and I had like a $1 bill and two 20s, I'd be like, bro, you got to sign the one.
Like $5 bill that I was willing to get signed.
You went up to five?
Everything else was for like, you know, spending.
I would stick. Well, even now, be like, man, I hate to be this guy. Can you just sign the wrinkly one? Because I desperately need the 20.
Can you sign this receipt?
Right. Like, bro, I need my money.
Yeah.
Best Buy.
I thought he was cool enough to sign more than one thing, too. I mean, he signed a $5 bill, $1 bill, my ticket, and my shirt.
Are you one of the first people, as far as you know, who knew what the hell he looked like? Before they kind of revealed themselves?
Yes. And after the show, I did kind of a little meet and greet with some of the rest of the band members. They were all in costume at that point, so I got to meet Clown, but never saw what he looked like. And sure. He was very mysterious.
You know, it'd be like meeting the guys from Gwar. You know, I wouldn't know.
No.
Like, if they were just in a bar, like, hey, you here to see Gwar? Like, yeah, they're a fun band. Here to see him tonight. Even if the guy told me, you know, like, hey, what's the name? Oh, different.
The guy who passed away.
Yeah, whatever his name was. You know what I mean? I'd be like, yeah, okay, bud. I think you're in war.
I think they have two lead singers now that they alternate.
Do they? Okay.
But that was kind of like meeting the Trailer Park Boys. Like, when you guys went out to smoke, like, they kind of stopped.
Bubbles took his glasses off and just was normal.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, man. Like, you guys keep this up a lot.
Mm-hmm. So it's amazing. So we had Steel Panther in probably, what, 12 years ago? Something like that, yeah, right? And they are what they are, and they are a lot of fun. But even when they came into the studio, you go to commercial break, it's all business, and not in a bad way. Is there anything you guys want to talk about? Is there anything you guys don't want to talk about? Like, they're asking us.
I said, no.
You saw your stick. So Steel Panther got the big hair, and it's all about sex and booze. So that night, they are playing Showbox Soto, I believe it was.
That sounds about right.
And it's crazy. So before they get in the costume, they're just normal-looking guys. And when I say they're exceptionally talented, they really are. You have to be very good to be able to poke fun the way they do. But I remember walking in there, and every other band that's there is kind of excited because Steel Panther's there. And the message they send is nothing but partying. These guys are so professional, you felt bad being around them.
I couldn't believe.
The guy came up and he, hey, just do me one. And they're not mean about anything, so make no mistake about that. But the lead singer's like, hey, do me one favor. I know you're a smoker. I said, yeah. He's like, can you please just smoke outside? And I did. He goes, just don't smoke in here because, you know, it affects vocals. And I'm looking at this guy like, when he goes on stage, he's the most ridiculous human being on earth.
Yeah.
Backstage, they're like, oh, man, we're getting our fingers warmed up. They're like, we have to put on a good show. And what I appreciated about them, they said, look, when you do what we do, we can't have a bad night.
Because right, everybody's there to party and have an amazing time.
We're already a bad band, quote unquote, but we can't F up.
I've never been to a show where I laugh so much.
Yeah, not a concert.
It's
right?
Awesome. But I mean, you laugh hysterically. I mean, they are so funny. It's insane. I mean, they were on a roll when I saw them down there. I mean, it was just like, this is one of the greatest shows. If you ever, you don't need to know any of their songs.
No, you don't.
None of that matters. You just go, they put on the show. You will enjoy yourself. You will laugh your ass off. You'll be like, those guys rock.
And they're better in a nightclub.
And you have to remember, they're all professional musicians. So they've all been in all types of bands with you know, some of your favorite guys that you don't even realize they played.
Or they played studio stuff, but that was their point. They're like, you know, trying to
play
it
anything.
In the industry is different, you know, they're being talented or whatever. And like, all of us, we put in the work, it works out. They could name a bunch of people they've played with who you're very familiar with. Like, oh, it's been a band with that guy, but worked out for him, didn't work out for me. So we kind of put this band together to make fun of it. And then this is the band that blew up. Mm-hmm.
And they had a $1 million residency at the House of Blues in Las Vegas. $1 million residency.
Right, because before they were Steel Panther, what were they, Metal Church? Right?
No.
They were they were doing the same thing. They were doing those Sunday night shows on the L.A. Strip. And like, they always did covers, and like, people would, it was like a famous thing where like, people would come up and like, do like cameos with them, like Mr. Belding would show up on stage and this and that. And then I want to say that morphed into Steel Panther.
Okay, all right.
But they
I think you're right. Like
they had something, right?
But it's like almost like karaoke. Like, we are your backing band, and then.
But you also have to remember,
Steel Panther, I mean, they're just, awesome.
In L.A., that would be the equivalent of a band here. Forming and going and spoofing grunge,
right?
And then getting up on stage and making complete fun of the Seattle music scene. I mean, ripping it to shreds in Showbox, like regular Showbox. That's the equivalent of what Steel Panther did. They would play Whiskey a Go-Go, and, you know, Nikki Sixx would be there. And they're basically, and he loves the band, but they're parroting him. They're parroting Poison. You know, like, you know, Ricky Rockets, and they're like, what the hell is this crap? You know what I mean? And they're making fun of you, dude.
Right.
Like, this is, they're joking about you. What were you lucky or unlucky enough to see with your own eyes? 206-421-ROCK.
Was I off on that one, Mike?
Close. It's they started as Metal Shop, then they became Metal School, and then they became Steel Panther.
All right. So you're going to piss people off at Metal Church.
Yeah, I know. When you looked at me, I was like, all right, it's not Metal Church, but I knew it was Metal something.
Yeah.
Because it was already like a famous show. But yeah, the Steel Panther thing just put them over the top.
And I'm happy for them, man. They are truly good guys. Hello, Colby. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hola.
Hey, so, no, this one made me think of it happened a couple months ago. Steve, you were talking about a tree that fell down, and it was one of the craziest things you ever seen. Well, a few months ago, it was right after that really hot few days we had, that was over 100 degrees. I had a few friends from back home come out. And so I took a few days off from work, and I decided, oh, we're going to go up to Mount Rainier. I want to show them, you know, up there, up in paradise, whatever, and get some pictures, you know. Well, we started driving up in the National Forest, so we probably drove about an hour and a half or so. And their daughter had to, she had to go on the bathroom. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll have to pull over. So I pulled over, first pull off. And so they got out, you know, and not even 20 seconds goes by. I have it all on my dash cam, too. This tree, I know it's just like leaning, you know. And all of a sudden, it just goes down, and it's just, and it you know how big them trees are up there. I mean, they're monstrous. I mean, yeah, they're just huge. And so this thing's coming down, and we're all just gasping because all of a sudden there's this Subaru, this car. I don't even think we saw it. And just kept driving. Finally saw it the last second, and that tree landed right smack, like on their bumper, literally. Inches from their
wow.
I mean, if they would have landed on the roof, done so. I mean, this tree was so big. The power lines came crashing down on my car. My buddy Pat and his daughter were still outside. I screamed, "Get in the car!" And the power lines are just right on top of our car. I mean, right next to my head. So crazy. I got it all on dash cam. Like, and then once it fell, and all these people started getting out of their car and on the road, and they're like, "What the hell are you guys doing?" You know, it's getting their car, man. It's just a live, big ass bandwagon. Yeah, it was just one of the craziest things I've ever wanted to see. Only the shows because you guys said that.
What I'm getting out of this: tree falls over, takes down the power lines, lands on the bumper of a woman's car,
probably a Subaru.
And then said if it had fallen directly on top of the car, it would have crushed her.
Correct.
To be fair, in that moment, I'm thinking it would be worse to be the caller than it is to be her. Right? I'm driving a car, tree slams down and crush. I'm just gone. I mean, there's no, right? It's over. I can't imagine witnessing that.
I think he switched to a Bluetooth or speakerphone or something.
I don't know what happened. I thought he was going in and out. Yeah. Well, I told you I saw somebody die. It's horrible.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, what was that, a baseball game?
Yeah. Yeah, the coach of the other team. There was a little bit of an argument after the game. Right, there was another coach there. So my brother and this other coach are kind of giving this guy the business. He's very upset. What, you know, storms off, you know, screw this, blah, blah, blah. And then, yeah, dies right there on third base, heart attack.
Damn. How bad do you feel? Especially the last thing is like, I'm arguing with this guy.
Yeah, did your brother feel bad for giving
my
him the
brother business? Didn't, because my brother was kind of breaking it up, right?
Okay.
We all coached in this league. And I will say this, the worst thing is just when they set him up, that gargle.
Yeah.
But my brother didn't feel too bad, but the other guy was really shook up by it for a while.
Oh, I bet. Well, yeah. Sure.
And it's hard to explain to somebody because he was in the situation, but it's like, look, like he was worked up. That could have happened at any time.
Yeah, that could have.
And obviously, like, you're arguing with him, so it's not like you had this deep-seated hatred for the guy.
Yeah, of course.
They were just arguing a point about, and it was a good point about saving a 13-year-old's arm for, you know, not just wearing it out because he plays on two teams.
Ah, okay.
That was the genesis of the argument.
Okay.
It was just like my brother and this other coach were like, hey, what are you doing? You know he pitched last night in another league. He's 13.
you got to look out for him.
Right.
Then he died.
Yeah. What were you lucky or unlucky enough to see with your own eyes? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Angel. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, muchachos.
Hola.
Okay, I have a story from Korea.
All right.
When I was in Korea in 1983, I was in the 2nd Infantry Division, and it was mandatory that we do a 14-mile road march every month just to qualify to preserve our status. I was in a road march, and all of a sudden, I see this little fire going on. I see a tripod, and then I see an animal hanging upside down. And there were these 4 Korean guys, probably in their 90s. They're called Papa Thumbs. They're like, they're wearing the traditional clothes. They look like they came out of a kung fu movie. And they're sitting around with this bottle of soju. They call them combat bottles because they're like half a gallon. They're really tall. And they're just taking shots, drinking, and they are burning a dog. A live dog is hanging in like a rope by his neck, and they're just cooking it. And they're about to chow down that thing.
Ah.
Hello? Are you guys? And you always hear about it. You always hear when you go to Korea, be careful, they don't give you a dog. But this is something that they do. It's very traditional.
Yeah, I mean, it's cold.
Yeah. It's like a ceremony, and you're not supposed to interfere with them. It's almost religious, and I was not even allowed to take pictures. The Korean guys that were with us, they told, don't take pictures. You're not supposed to.
Well, man, look, if you're from India and you roll into the States and everyone's eating beef, you know, it's kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. But what kind of dog was it?
It was kind of like a terrier, like a probably, it was not a chow chow. It was probably a 25, 30-pound dog. And I got another one. I didn't tell Mike about it, but I know Miles is going to relay with me. I saw Kyle Welland hit the pavement in Puerto Rico when he fell from the high wire.
Oh, you did see
that?
Yeah. You were there.
Yeah, because what happened was, it was at like a big event, and like the day before, he was on all the TV channels promoting that. And then, so me, my cousins and I, we all got around it. I wanted my mom to take us to see it, but she didn't want to. It was too much traffic and, you know, stuff like that. So we all sit around the TV, you know, hey, he's about to do this. And, like, the whole country was paralyzed for the whole day for this event. And the wind was blowing, man. The wind was blowing. I've been through that place, like, 100 times. And it's like a tunnel. The wind from the ocean comes into an alley.
Because there's a cove in there. There's a cove there.
Yeah, and he's up there, man. He's walking the wire. He's all of a sudden he starts wobbling, and all of a sudden, you know, he's trying to hold on, and he let that bar that they carry for balance. He let that thing go, and he's hanging, and then up down he goes, man. And the cameraman, he just should give him like the cameraman of the year. He followed him all the way down to it. He hit
the
taxi and the pavement.
You know what's really weird about that? You know what's crazy about that area right now? I don't know when's the last time you've been back, but if you're standing in that, if you're standing where the hotel is and you look across the street, there's a Dunkin' Donuts and there's a Chili's. So, like, he hit right by the Chili's, basically. I'm like looking.
Dunkin' Donuts is very, very famous where I'm from. I'm so sad that they're not over here.
Yeah.
I love those.
No, I know. Like, because I was like, I just wanted, my grandmother lived in that hotel.
Yeah.
So I kind of wanted to see, like, where she lived and just kind of walk around and all that stuff. So, you know, I'm like, and I know where he fell. I know where he fell in the street because he fell right in front of the hotel. So I walk outside looking. There's a Chili's. You know what I mean? You're like, all right, let's go get some beer at Chili's then, I guess. What the hell, man?
It's strange. Like, you fathom that stuff's everywhere. And I know I told this story, but, right? Like, I arrive in London. It's the afternoon, evening.
Mm-hmm.
We go out, do like the pub tour, this and that. And the next morning, I throw open the shutters. I call them shutters because I'm in England. And I'm like, look at this. Ted Smith in London. And there's the Domino's guy. And he just cruises by on his bicycle. And I was like,
wow.
All right.
Hey. My big moment in London was I got lost, right? Because all the roads are so curvy, and you think you have a general idea of where you're at. And where I was, I just didn't. No big deal. Kind of went out for an early morning walk. So there's this old dude. He's walking up the street, and I'm like, hey, man, I'm just trying to get back to whatever the name of the hotel was. And he's like, oh, it's quite easy. Right now, you're on Drury Lane. And I did not mean to do this. I'm like, you mean where the mother effing muffin man lives? And I realize I've said this, so he kind of looks at me and he goes, Yes, where the Muffin Man lives. I'm like, where he lives on Drake.
This is cool. I was like, a Muffin Man t-shirt.
I was blown away in that moment. Like, I'm on goddamn Drury Lane. A mother effing Muffin. Sorry, bro.
I got Frank Zappa yeah. t-shirt.
It was just an outburst. I'm like, I sound so stupid right now.
What were you lucky or unlucky enough to see with your own eyes? 206-421-ROCK.
Dominus. All right. Hello, Russ. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
I got a story for you. My back in 2014, I live up in a neighborhood called Cedar Heights. It's over by Whidbey Island Air Base. And me and my daughter were in. It was late evening. And we start hearing this rumbling and stuff around the house. And we go out and look. And an A6 flies right over top of the house, right over the neighborhood. It flew so low you could see the tail numbers and the pilot and everything.
What was it? What is an A6 exactly? Is that a big plane?
Is that
a
warthog? Is that
no, it's an A6, EA6B. They use them over. It's an attack aircraft. They used them in the war, and they used they still fly. They do maneuvers around the neighborhood there.
We're pulling up a picture now.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right.
It flew over so low that, like I said, you could see the pilot's colonel, whatever. You could see the tail numbers and everything. And he looks over at us. My daughter's standing out there, and he did like a left and a hard bank right, and he was back up into. There was low clouds and fog at the same time, but it was pretty spectacular.
I bet so. Steve, that's kind of plane that flies that low. You want to draw that penis underneath the bottom. You know
that,
I mean?
Right, that's the plan. I have this goal.
You can see it.
And because yeah. Every time you look up to see a plane, I'm always like, how are there not more penises on the bottom of planes? Right, so every time you look at it.
It's got to be access.
But come on, man. Somebody has access to planes. Come on, man.
I'm just thinking about like commercial flights. Those planes are so big and it would be hard to get. I mean, that'd be a lot of paint.
It's a lot of paint, but even if you just do the outline, or maybe you just like tape some LED lights on the bottom, so at night when it flies over, it's just a giant glowing paint. I don't understand how this has not happened. Like, that would be my main goal, man.
What were you lucky or unlucky enough to see with your own eyes? We got your emails coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.